Welcome back. Trust you are getting blessed in this Bible study. Ask the pastor. Good evening, sir. What do you have to say about a man loving his wife with conditions? Thanks. Sister Eunice from Port Harcourt, River State, Nigeria.
Of course, now. It depends on what condition is. I mean, you've not stated the conditions. Even the love of God is with conditions.
Mm.
Because love is reciprocal.
Mm.
You know, even grace is with conditions.
Mm.
You know, salvation is with condition.
Mm.
So there's Christ loving us is with condition. You know, if he says loving with condition, but now it depends on the condition. So please, your question is not complete. Tell us what is the condition.
Okay, examples, conditions like, so that the pastor will go deeper.
Like, if you don't give me food, I will not love you. I'll love you in the condition that you cook for me.
Mm.
I'll love you in the condition that you give me your salary.
Okay, so please, Sister Eunice, rephrase that question and the pastor will answer you. God bless you. More questions? Brother Akin from Benue State. Okay.
Yes,
Matthew 24, verse
34.
What's your question, sir?
Yeah, I wanted to know what the Bible was doing there.
Okay. Verily I say unto you, this generation. Matthew 24, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Is that it?
Yes. I want to know the generation he's talking about.
The generation he's talking about.
You want to know the generation that is spoken about? The generation that
will not pass.
That will not pass. Remember, we have to pick it from verse 32.
Okay. Now learn the parable of the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Now, which things will be fulfilled? 24.
Mm.
Even right from verse 23, sorry. From verse 23, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 23, I mean to say.
Okay.
Now, from verse 37.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee.
Yes.
How often would thou have gathered thy children together?
Yes.
Even as the hen gathereth her chickens under her wings,
uh-huh.
And ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
That is the prophecy for the destruction of Jerusalem. Then go to chapter 24.
Okay.
And from verse 15.
When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains.
Uh-huh.
Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house.
Uh-huh.
Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes.
Uh-huh.
And woe unto them that with child, and to them that give suck in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Uh-huh.
And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Now, you see the activities, see the things that will happen. Now, so then he now said in verse 32, that's where you now understand verse 32.
Now, learn a parable of the fig tree.
Now, learn a parable of the fig tree.
When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh.
How do you know that summer is nigh in the Middle East there? How do you know that summer is very, very near? How do you know? It's from a fig tree that you know.
Mm.
Naturally, from a fig tree that you know. Go ahead.
So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things.
Which things? The destruction of Jerusalem and all the things that he spoke that will happen. Those people that you are there, you are looking at us here, this thing I'm speaking will surely come to pass. This generation. I know why you're looking at me like this. Because we say the fig tree is Israel. And we're talking about the end time. That this generation, that is the generation that will see the fig tree, Israel will stand as a nation. That generation is the generation that will see the end, the coming of the Lord, and things like that. But let's go back to the context. He was telling them things that will happen. He's saying that things that will happen. And he's telling that that generation will not pass. They will see it. And that generation saw the destruction of Jerusalem.
That's right.
And that generation saw what happened in AD 70. They are the ones that saw it. So he already gave it now in verse 15. He gave a sign. When you see the abomination, the prophecy that Daniel gave, Jerusalem was surrendered. You know? I mean, was surrounded. And when it was surrounded by the Roman army, you know that this thing that he spoke is about to come to pass. The generation that will see it, see that this generation will not pass. And he gave an emphasis in verse 35.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Take note of verse 34 again and 35. Read it again.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Till all these things. So which things? The things he was talking about will be fulfilled. God bless you.
Hello, Brother King. Are you still there?
Are you clear now?
Yes, sir. How long can a generation be, sir?
How long can a generation be?
Generation is a reference point. You know, we have seen where generation is 100 years. In Genesis, where he said in the fourth generation, 400 years. So, generation, 100 years. But the context that is spoken here is telling you that you, the living element here now, this generation that you're looking at me, this generation is also referring to those who are alive now. That's what it means here. It will not pass away. That is, you people living here, you will not all pass. There will be people living here, living among you, that will see this thing I spoke about. It will come to pass. Then he added the certainty of what he was speaking in verse 35. Heaven and earth
shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
And did it not happen?
Indeed.
Okay.
Hello, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, I have a second question, sir.
But is this one clear?
Yeah, it's very clear, sir.
Thank you.
Is it normal for a man, for a brother, and you wake up and you find yourself wet early in the morning like that?
That's a medical question, not a spiritual question. It's medical. So ask your doctor. God bless you.
Biological question. Okay. Esther, please comment on it now. I think he's talking of area of having wet dreams. We've answered such a question here before.
I mean,
nocturnal emissions. Well, a lot of people see it as spiritual.
No, it's not everything you spiritualize. It's not everything now. Try to Google what wet dreams are all about. And it has to do also with, there's also a medical condition to it. There are several ways that God has built in man to remove excess, you know. So it's a way of removing this excess, especially in adolescence.
Yes, sir.
And you know, that is when these things happen most. And also, but we also know that sometimes a spirit comes, but you know, to disturb you, then you will know, because it comes up from a dream you will have. And went from a spiritual activity. If it comes from a spiritual activity, then you know you need prayers. A spirit is defiling you. And then you go before the Lord in prayer and it will stop. But you see, I don't always want to bring Satan, devil every time to. I go positive first before I go. You know.
Shalom to the bride of Christ. Greetings, Pastor and our brother. We thank God for your life, Pastor, and how the Lord is using you mightily. My question, can a person just wake up and instantly be speaking in tongues? Then how can they know it is from God as they do not understand what they are saying? This is a person who has been praying for baptism of the Holy Ghost, Sister Williams.
Sister Williams, you are saying that maybe you have been praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one manifestation of the Spirit is speaking in tongues.
Hmm.
And speaking in unknown tongues.
That's right.
Unknown to the person speaking.
Hmm.
So when you now, in that estate of you praying, and now you sleep, you wake up and you find yourself speaking in tongues. Certainly, it's a supernatural action. Anything spiritual going on, we bring it to the scripture. And you see that that was the same thing that happened in the house of Cornelius.
Mm.
And Peter confirmed that you received the same spirit as we have received. So you should be happy that you have received the answer to your prayers.
Wow.
And a manifestation to confirm it.
So God can visit someone in that direction.
Any direction, anyway, but apart from dream.
Okay.
Yeah, dream is foretelling.
Mm.
Then, so that when it happens physically, you remember the dream you had. But when you now wake up from the dream and you continue that manifestation, certainly you should rejoice that you've had a spiritual visitation.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay.
So how do you know it is of God or not?
Yes.
How do you know?
No question.
And then you yourself, you said you have been praying for the Holy Ghost. So the answer is Luke chapter 11, sorry.
Okay. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
You ask for the Holy Ghost. Will your son, the scripture before verse 11.
Son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father,
uh-huh,
will he give him a stone?
Uh-huh.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?
Uh-huh.
Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
So you ask for the Holy Ghost and you are saying, how do you know whether this is the Spirit of God? To me, you know, we went to a camp when this ministry began some years back. And then we went looking for the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You know, we fasted. And then there were a lot of manifestations when we came back. A very spiritual sister came one service and she came the guys that she has a testimony. She said she has a special number before the church, and then we gave her a chance to sing. And then she said, Pastor, I just want you to note that the Lord was letting me know that many of these people prophesying and manifesting here, that it is not of God.
Ah.
Yeah. So, many of them,
openly, she said that publicly.
Publicly in front of
the
church. And I told her, sorry, we're just from the camp. And we went asking for the Holy Ghost and these manifestations take place.
Hmm.
I did not go to ask for familiar spirits.
Amen.
Therefore, please, all of you, enjoy the Spirit.
Amen.
I know the lady got angry and left the church.
Mm.
So that is some of the funny things we meet in the ministry.
Mm.
And from then till now, we've grown from grace to grace. We've seen manifestations.
Hallelujah.
Of the Spirit. And so that's why I say, I think positive before I go negative.
Mm.
How can I ask for the Holy Ghost and God will give me familiar spirit?
Mm.
Did I go to fast to devil?
Mm.
Did I go to fast to mommy water? It's who you go and meet that he will give you what he has.
Mm.
We went to the Lord in prayer. We asked for the Holy Ghost. He gave me the Holy Ghost. And you are saying the manifestation is taking place, and then you are saying it's familiar spirit. So, Sister, rejoice. Sister William.
Amen.
You've received the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Brother Ifeanyi is calling us from Delta State. God bless you, sir. Your name.
Shalom.
Shalom. God bless you. Sir.
Good evening, sir. I have a question.
Yes.
In a book of Job, from verse 1, we heard about how God was boasted with him, how upright he was. Then, but my question here is this. When in Job 38, 39. Then when the two friends came, the three friends came with the Daniel, and after staying with him for 7 days, they started talking to him. Then at last, God himself now appeared to Job. And Job was expecting that as soon as God comes, that all his problems would have been solved. Then God started telling him all what he did in Genesis chapter 1. How he created the world. When was Job? All those things. But my question here is this, sir.
Yes.
Did that thing have anything to do with the mystery of God or the divine agenda? With the divine agenda, is there anything that God wants to teach us in that happened to Job?
It's simple, because in verse 38, God was replying Job for the question that he was asking him.
Yes.
And so what God is using that to teach us is that we should not question God. We are not to question him for what he's doing, because he creates all things for his pleasure and he cannot be questioned. That's all. It's not any divine agenda.
Okay. Then another one is this now.
Yes.
Sometimes in the church, you will see a brother doing something. Or okay, for example, in a church, in that brother assembly, somebody will be singing, and the people will be coming there to spend money to him or her. Is it proper in the church?
There's no scripture against it. Do you have any reason to question it?
Yeah, my reason is this. It's not trying to take someone's mind away from what is on the ground. Instead of you being spiritual in the worshiping God, and you need to distract the person or distract the other.
I understand what you are saying. That is, that's why I ask. If you think anything is wrong, you're talking about distraction when service is going on. It depends on what you mean. What are you doing at that time? What is going on that can constitute distraction? Because is it distracting the person that is singing or distracting the people he is leading?
Distracting the person that is singing, which is supposed to be.
No. If the person that is singing is distracted, he will complain. But sometimes these things encourage him to do more, to enter spirit more. He enters spirit more when he sees money being spread. He will enter spirit very well. So he is the one to determine whether he is being distracted or not. And I want you to also note that sometimes we have various means of expressing our excitement and expressing our joy. And sometimes when a preacher is preaching also, you see people who are so impressed by what he's saying, they go to the altar and drop something. The preacher is not distracted. It is a way of saying what he's doing is blessing the people.
That's
so
right.
He does it more. He's encouraged to continue.
Okay.
God bless you.
Money increases the anointing.
Money increases anointing.
Okay, let's take more questions. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. My name is Brother Chukwudi Ugwu from Taraba State. My question goes like this. I was being favored by God with the love of my life. And I went to collect the list. And I found out that there are things which is contrary against the Bible. And I pleaded that those things should be aborted, but they said that it is impossible. And that's why I decided to quit everything. Wow. Please, am I doing the right thing or not? Dearly beloved, my two hands are tight. That's why I'm asking for more wisdom. Thanks and remain blessed.
Brother who?
Brother Chukwudi from Taraba State.
Chukwudi from Taraba State. Chukwudi. God bless you. I want you to note something, and Christians generally. What do you call, which list did you go to collect? It is called traditional marriage. You are going to a family to collect their daughter, and they have their traditional requirement to release their daughter to you. They have given the list to you that this is what you should bring to collect your wife. Brethren, stop these problems you create in your marriage. Give them, if you can afford what they want, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give
to God
what is God's. You are going to unbelievers to collect a wife. Then you should have gone to Christians now to collect a wife. Why are you going to an unbeliever place to collect a wife? If it was Christian family you went to pick a wife from, they will give you that list because they will understand. But you are going to an unbeliever and you want to dictate to them what they should give you. That is wrong now. Now, give them what they say they want. The only time you will show your protest if they tell you now to take it, eat it, drink the alcohol, drink whatever per me, because I know what you're talking will be alcohol, any other thing, nothing more, it's alcohol. They won't tell you to go and cut somebody's head and bring it. They won't do that. But I can tell you there is a man that was told in the Bible as a precondition for even getting a wife, even among Israel. Among, is a fellow Jew like him, Saul, told David. What did he tell him to
100
do?
100 foreskins of the Philistines.
He said he should go to the Philistines and bring, how many? 100 foreskins, that is, catch the men. He didn't say kill them, catch them and cut, circumcise them and bring 100 from 100 men. And it's even a Jew like him giving him that condition. But is that a condition for you to release your wife for me? He risked his life. That is risk. You don't know what it cost God to come down here, release his son, to come here, kill, he died, to be able to get a wife for himself. Christ came and died.
Amen.
Then you, your own, to give alcohol, now they say it's against your faith. Who taught you that? That person doesn't want you to ever have a wife in Africa. Go to Oyibo and go and marry Oyibo. Their own tradition, it doesn't matter. If you like, bring anything. If you like, don't even bring anything. My friend went and said he wants to pay dowry. They were telling him, what? My son wants to marry your daughter in America. He said this. He said, so what is that? He said, no. They love each other. I let them go. He said, no, you must take something. Tell me. Then he said, okay. What do you want to bring? He said, no, I'll give you $1,000. I said, wow, $1,000? Am I selling her? Am I selling her? He said, no, it's a tradition. So, oh, it's African tradition. I said, yes. He said, take it. He said, okay, they drop it. Okay, take what you want to take. There must be something, you know. You want to pick a wife and then you start with a problem. You're not ready to marry that woman. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Thank you so much, sir. Because we have, and this problem is majorly from holiness believing churches.
The holiness believing churches, yeah, they do that. You know, it's some of us. I mean, you can be lucky, you know, if you go use some influence and then tell them to remove this from the list and things like that. Even with that, you know, we use wisdom. We say, oh, can I monetize it? If you say you monetize, give them the money, then they use the money and buy it for themselves. They will still take it. Most traditions, they will take it.
Yeah, but if you get what they want and you comply with them,
yes.
Have you seen? Has it affected
you? Have not seen. That's what I'm
your
saying.
Your holiness in any way.
No, because you are paying a bride price.
Mm.
It's supposed to be something that will pain you anyway. Was it easy for Jesus to get us? How do these people interpret the scriptures? Was it easy for David to get Micah? And it was Micah.
Yes, sir.
Was it easy? Was it easy? You want to get a wife and don't open shop. You want to dictate to them what you are not serious. You will stay without wife if you are from Africa.
Okay, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Can we have more questions? Brother Francis from River State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. You're on air.
My name is Brother Francis. I'm calling from River State.
We can hear you.
I want to understand Galatians 5 and verse 4 and Galatians 2 and verse 15. Why I want to ask, if after the Galatians 2 verse 15 and Galatians 5 verse 4, why is he preaching law to people?
Sorry.
That shall not wear this, that shall not wear that.
Sorry. What?
Galatians 2 verse what?
Galatians 2 verse 16.
Verse 16.
Yes.
Okay, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 5:4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
When he talk about the law, he's talking about the law that Moses gave them, which was under the old covenant. And there are many of them under issue. You don't live by those laws anymore, because those laws were a shadow of things to come. But when you talk about law, we are also talking about the commandments of God. So God still has his commandments, his word, that keep us connected to him and let us live a life of righteousness. You cannot live anyhow. No matter what freedom you have, it's still within a boundary of his word that keeps us. So there are still some aspect of God's commandment in the Old Testament that we keep now. For instance, you cannot kill. It's a
That's
law.
Right.
You cannot covet your neighbor's wife. You must obey your mother and your father. Those commandments right. are still there.
1 Corinthians 9:21.
Yes.
To them that are without law, as
yes.
without law,
uh-huh.
being not without law to God,
uh-huh.
but under the law to Christ.
Thank you.
That I might gain them that are without law.
And there is the law of Christ.
Amen.
There is. The Bible speaks about the law of Christ. There is you cannot live anyhow.
That's right.
The grace that leadeth to salvation teaches us.
Amen and amen.
So it teaches us. Titus 2:11.
Yes, sir.
You are to abstain from sin.
Yes.
And how do you know sin if God didn't tell you what is sin?
Amen.
So.
Doctor.
Yes.
When they talk of law of Christ, I think of 1 Corinthians 9 and 10 is the law of Christ. But the law of that shall not put earring, that shall not wear this, which I see this preach. Are we not preaching the law? Are we trying to make ourselves righteous again?
Now, Brother Francis, when we talk about law, we are talking about, always remember, I said law means Old Testament. The old covenant. Under the new covenant, what God hated yesterday, he still hates it today.
That's right.
You have to take note of that. Under the old covenant, Israel was to stand out different from the non-Israel, what they call the Gentiles. By their appearances, by the way they dress, by the life they live, by the kind of way they worship. They are to stand out separated. That is the meaning of holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness means separated from the world. He said we should give ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. We are to live a life of separation. The things that the heathens do, we are not to, that they are identified by, we are not to be found in it. For instance, there's a reason why they bore hole in the ear. Unbelievers, God forbids marks on your skin. It still stands till today. So, why? Because it will separate you from those who live that type of life. We are in this world, but not of this world. He called it that the friendship of this world is enmity with God. It is called fornication, adultery. So we have to balance it, you know. And this is made possible by the indwelling of the Holy Ghost that teaches you how to comport yourself. And that we as Christians, our identity is no more by what we put on, you know, is now. Whatever we do must be moderate, and that which commends us to God and portrays godliness. That is the emphasis. So make sure we don't go with the trend of the fashion, because we are ambassadors. If we are ambassadors, we are representative of somewhere. We are to reflect our origin, where we come from. I don't know if that is clear, Brother Francis.
But it's not all that clear. Because on that Galatians 5, when you read down to see, it says, when in Christ, that circumcision and uncircumcision are valid not. So if you're talking about the man.
But is there circumcision? Sorry, Brother Francis. Yeah. Is there circumcision under grace?
Excuse me.
Do we still have circumcision under grace?
What Brother Paul was trying to say there is that it has nothing to do.
I'm asking you.
It's not going to be used to judge us whether we are circumcised or not.
I'm asking you a question.
If we are bringing back the mark of no mark of the law, it then means that the Galatians 4 verse 5 has come to work. Christ has nothing to do with us.
Can you hear me, Brother Francis?
I
just want to understand you very well. Do we still have circumcision now in another form under grace?
But we have it, but it's not on law that you must.
Maybe you don't understand me. Let's read it from the Bible.
Okay.
Romans chapter 2.
Yes, sir. Verse 28 and 29.
Verse 28 and verse 29.
For is not a Jew which
who is
one.
A Jew? Definition of a Jew now.
For is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh.
Yes.
But he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God.
So that is the difference between grace and the law. Now, it is about removal of excess flesh. But this time now, it is no more physical, but in the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, it is from the heart that we display whatever life we live. So God is now working in the heart. Excesses of the heart are removed. Jesus is the Passover lamb. The blood is applied in the heart, not in the physical door anymore. And when that blood is properly applied in the heart, and excesses of the flesh, of the heart, is removed, then it reflects, it will produce what the law in the Old Testament was supposed to achieve. For the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God that worketh in us both to will and do his of good pleasure. Whereas under the law, there were written laws. You have to read them in a book. But now those same laws are now in our heart that make us to achieve even more than what the law could not achieve. So you have to balance it up that way.
So sir, like you said in Luke 28, that said you said it's in our heart. Why not are we considering the piercing of the physical?
Now, I want to understand you, Brother Francis. Now, in the law,
yes.
Among the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Correct?
Yes.
In the New Testament now, will you still commit adultery and be free?
You should not commit adultery because what I said on that 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 and 10, he let us know about the commandment. But this law you are talking about.
Sorry. Brother Francis, can you hear me?
I'm hearing you, sir.
Now, I don't ask a question. It seems you don't know the answer. Let me ask again. I said, maybe you didn't get me. There was a law that you should not commit adultery in the Old Testament. You said yes. I said, is that law still applicable now under grace?
It's applicable, yes.
Why? Why are you taking that one when under grace now there should be no law?
Yes, it's applicable because according to the Bible, we are the temple.
Hello? It's like we've lost that call.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says, should we continue in sin
that grace may
that
abound,
grace may abound God forbid.
And the scriptures is even quoting that we are justified not by the law.
Yes.
It's even speaking of the ordinances.
The ordinances of the law, exactly.
So he doesn't understand.
That's why I say the law of Christ.
The law of Christ.
There's the law of Christ. Fulfill ye the law of Christ.
Christ.
There is a law of Christ.
Amen. More questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor Moses and Brother Lumide. My questions for today are, question one, sir, can we liken the anointing of the Holy Ghost to the outpouring of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the indwelling of the Spirit?
You are speaking the same thing. They all mean the same thing. Okay. Next question.
Sir, the other day you said that one who is not yet baptized with the Holy Ghost should not perform a service for God, such as joining a group or a department. How then can one be identified as a member of Bride Assembly, for example, if you don't belong to any group? Brother Chidibem from Lagos.
If you are looking for a church to join, then you'll be looking for groups to join in the church. All I'm just saying is, look for Christ. Be in Christ first. Let that be your priority. Be in Christ first, because if you are not in Christ and you join a group, you will create confusion, because these groups are created for believers, for Christians who have the Holy Ghost. Then you will understand yourself. If not, you'll be creating problem there. If you bring a fornicator who has not met with Christ to deal with fornication, and you bring him to mingle with sisters in a group, what do you think will be the testimony later on? That is why we say, get the Holy Ghost first before you think of service. That was the difference between Mary and Martha. Martha was busy going to cook. Immediately Jesus entered the house, was in the kitchen cooking. But Mary came for fellowship first. That is more important than going to cook for Jesus.
Amen.
I have to take note of that.
Amen. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, Pastor. Thank you for always being there to answer our questions. Now I understand that Jesus is God because the Spirit of God is upon him. Luke 4:18. We are Christians because the Spirit of Christ is in us. Romans 8:9. If Jesus is God, it means that the Spirit that is in us is the Spirit of God. My question is, what is the difference between the Spirit of God in Christ that makes him God and the Spirit of Christ, God, that is in us that makes us Christians? Brother Daniel from Achiri. Brother Daniel Achiri from Bamenda, Cameroon.
What is the difference between the Spirit that was in Christ?
What? My question is, what is the difference between the Spirit of God in Christ,
yes,
that makes him, Jesus Christ,
yes,
God, and the Spirit of Christ in us?
Yes.
The Spirit of God in us.
Yeah, the difference is that he, John chapter 3, now verse 34, thank you very much.
For him.
Now read it from...
John 3, 33. He that received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true.
Verse 34, the verses.
For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Why? Why did he say he didn't give him the Spirit by measure? Colossians.
Amen.
Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 19. What does it say?
Colossians 1, 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
For the fullness of God dwell in him, but we will receive in a measure. That's why we want more of him. We want more of him. That's why we want more of him.
Amen.
Until he takes us.
Hallelujah.
So he was a fool.
Without measure.
Without measure. Complete. But we are in a measure. But even that measure make us gods.
Amen.
The Bible says, ye are gods. So we are God.
So the fullness of God was in Christ.
But the fullness was in Christ. God bless you.
Hallelujah. So Jesus is complete God.
Complete God, Emmanuel.
Amen and amen.
Almighty. You see Shalom. Me, you see the Father.
Hallelujah. Shalom, sir. Please, sir, where did the apostles receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Where?
Yeah, was it in John 20:22 or in Acts 2:1-4?
No, John 20:22 was prophetic. That manifested in Acts 2.
Amen. Simple. All right. More questions? Shalom, Bride of Christ worldwide. Sir, is there any difference with the Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of Life? But they are calling from Cameroon.
Is there the Book of...
The Book of Life and the Lamb's Book of
Life.
It's
the same book.
Okay. More questions. Book. Shalom, sir. In Luke 9, verse 1 to 2, Jesus gave his 12 disciples power and authority. Was it to heal and cast out devil or power and authority to preach the gospel? Why I ask? Because in today's Pentecostal churches, we seem to uplift these wonders happening all over the podium. That elude from Kenya.
Brother, there's a question you are asking. Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2 was before Pentecost. Was before Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
He sent them out there and gave them authority.
Mm.
So they went by his authority. And by the time you come to chapter 10, you see them rejoicing and things like that. That were going on. Give the authority. But these same disciples, again, you see them in Acts chapter 1. These same power. Disciples in Acts chapter 1,
verse
6. Read it from verse 4.
Okay. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
But they were to wait till they received that power. And this is the power that he gave them in Mark chapter 15. That's chapter 16. Chapter 16. It's important that we just read this for the purpose of this verse 15.
And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Yes.
He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
As after his resurrection now.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils.
Yes.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Uh-huh.
They shall take up serpents.
Uh-huh.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Uh-huh.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Uh-huh. So this anointing is with us. And we saw that on the day of Pentecost. And from then on, it's power, signs and wonders taking place. Even shadows, we are healing and everything like that. So I don't know what his question is. It's scriptural. What is the question again?
Luke chapter 9 verse 1.
No, that's not the authority we have.
Okay.
The authority we have is the authority that comes with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, so it comes with that. It's part of the benefit of the cross.
Amen. So nobody should downplay the power.
Nobody should downplay the power. No.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
More questions? We have a caller. Brother Sunday from Delta State, Nigeria is calling us. God bless you, Brother Sunday. God bless you, sir. We can hear you.
Yeah, this is your sister from Apostolicio.
Brother.
Good evening. Pastor Moshe. I'm Brother Solomon.
God bless you.
God bless you, sir.
Sir, I have this question from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 5 and verse 6, and then verse 17.
Yes.
Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6, and then verse 27. In verse 5, Jesus was commissioning his apostles to go to preach the gospel to the, you know, to the Israelites, and not to go into the unit of the Gentiles. And then, after that, in verse 27, he mentioned that they will not go around Israel, the whole Israel, before the Son of Man will come. So I want to.
Verse what?
23.
Which of the colonies is Jesus, or was Jesus talking about?
You shall not have gone over the cities of Judah.
The actual of God.
I don't understand your question.
Okay, in verse 5 and 6, he said they should not go but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm. Then his question is, this coming in verse 23,
yes,
is it the second coming, or which coming is he talking about?
Certainly the second.
They will not have gone over
the reason is because they will reject them. They will reject him, because the next verse said the same thing, that the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. They rejected him in Israel, they will also reject them. That's what he's saying. So let them not think that they will be able to go around the whole of Israel. And of course they did it, because they were all driven away from Israel, if we are putting that scripture right. Correct? They drove them away. They drove them away from Jerusalem.
Okay, you said they would not have gone around Israel. Is it that they are yet to cover the whole Israel?
They were supposed to cover the whole Israel, but the Jews rejected them. So he was trying to tell them they will not be able to go around Israel. So let them know it. They will be, and it came to pass, because he was telling them they will be rejected. Like he was rejected, they will reject him, them too.
Okay.
And if you see the book of Acts, you saw what they went through. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. More questions coming in. Shalom to the Bride of Christ worldwide. Shalom to Brother Moses. Mine is not a question. I just want to thank you, Pastor Moses, and the entire Bride Assembly for this channel. I'm really blessed. Each time I'm watching and listening to your messages, I feel the inner peace. I have come to like your boldness in rebuking sin. Indeed, we need you in this generation. May God bless you as you continue to reach out to the lost souls. Shalom.
From heaven. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for the encouragement.
Okay, we have a question on the screen. Good day, sirs. God bless you for allowing yourselves to be used for improvement of lives. My questions: is it acceptable for a woman to teach in Sunday school?
What do you mean Sunday school? Because some people, Sunday school is for children church. Whereas some, again, Sunday school is the service that holds
before
the main service starts. What a woman, of course, when it comes to taking care of children, when we have children church, where the children are taken care of to keep them from distracting the parents, the best people to take care of them are women.
Mm.
So that should be women ministry, to take care of those children. But the Bible does not allow a woman to teach Sunday school. The school is a teaching school. We are men are sitting down.
Hallelujah.
No, it's given to the man in the order of the church.
Amen.
Church order.
Mm. Okay, our second question. According to Numbers 12, both Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses, but only Miriam was visited with leprosy. I didn't know or read about any punishment meted on Aaron. Why is it so?
If God chose to punish Miriam, then it is easy to know, we can conclude or infer that she is the one that
instigated
error.
Mm.
So it's simple. And secondly, when it comes to ministry work, woman is not supposed to put mouth inside, because that law still exists. That's why you see in First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, where he said, let the woman
learn in silence.
I permit not the woman, that the woman should not speak. Please read it.
Okay. First Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the Lord.
Now this woman is speaking. Aaron speaking, no problem. But that woman should not speak. It was wrong.
Amen.
Yes, that's why she faced the punishment.
Okay, a third question. What does a believer that has a child with dada hair do? The hair has been cut about 3 times, but keeps coming on, coiling and tangling as it grows. Thanks, Clara Prince from Abia State.
Keep cutting it. So that he won't look like a mad person. Keep cutting it. It is nature, it's natural, it's a natural hair, so that he won't look like a mad person. Let him continually maintain a low cut. Simple.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, Ramad Abuchi, okay.
From Abuja.
God bless you, sir. You're on air.
I have a question to ask.
Go ahead, please.
My question is this. I'm a Catholic background, but by the grace of God, coming out from it. Please, I want to ask questions based on this God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. Are they really one God or are they different God? Is it confusing me to tomorrow, please?
Brother Madu Obuchi.
Yes, sir.
I want you to note something. Are you with your Bible there?
Yes, sir.
Now watch that Matthew 28 again, verse 19.
Yes.
Now can you read it?
Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Now, did you see God the Father there?
No, sir.
Did you see God the Son there?
No, sir.
Did you see God the Holy Ghost there?
No, sir.
It's Catholic religion that has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Okay, sir.
Now, you take note that now the Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not three persons in one God.
Okay.
It's nothing like that supports it in the Bible, because God is one.
Amen.
Israel, the God of Israel is our God. And Israel did not know him as three.
At all.
God revealed himself one. Hear ye all Israel, the Lord their God is one Lord.
Amen.
We have one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one. But this one God is our creator, correct?
Yes, sir.
And he is above all. Now, when he now decided, that is why he's our Father. When he wanted to come and redeem us, he created a body for himself.
Amen.
In the womb of a virgin.
Amen.
Yes.
And he came because this God is a spirit.
Yes.
So it was the Holy Spirit that came and dwelt inside that Son that we call the Son of God. And they call him Emmanuel. Meaning who was he? He was God our Father as Emmanuel among us. So who is the Son of God? It is the creator of the heavens and earth in human form.
Hallelujah.
The same God that created us decided to come in human form for the purpose of paying the price of redemption to collect us back to himself. After he paid the bright price of the blood hanging on the cross on Calvary, that is the mystery of redemption. So mysterious, people don't understand that who they were kicking and nailing on the cross there was their God, they didn't know. Then, so now that he finished paying the price, he now came back, the same spirit that was in Christ now, coming to dwell inside of us.
Amen.
That he has redeemed as Amen. The baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
So what is this Amen. Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Father is God above us.
Mm.
And the Son, in his Son, the same God that is our Father, is the same one in his Son, is the same one again in us now that he has redeemed. Amen. So it is three offices of for redemption of the same one God, not three different people.
Hmm.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much.
Thank
sir.
You.
Babuchi, are you clear? Oh,
it's gone.
Yes, I believe it's clear because it's
clear.
Amen.
It's clear.
You can also get messages on the Godhead from yes. our message archives. Visit brighttv.org and download sermons that would help you about the Godhead. It's
yes.
a very interesting one. Okay, but we'll go on a short break. When we come back, we'll continue to ask the pastor. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.